plate a potential nugget.
I want to talk about one of the other elements you address in the book, Dharma Sankata. You talk about that in several situations, and in a way you say that Arjuna archetype is a lot about confronting these Dharma Sankatas.
That's right.
And really resolving them. One of the other professors I've studied, a gentleman called Joseph Badaracco in Harvard, talks about this concept of right versus right. You know, he says in leadership, it's not right versus wrong. Very often you have to choose between right versus right. So, what's your approach? Again, we can have a full 2-hour conversation just on this. But for as advice for leaders on resolving Dharma Sankatas as they go through their journeys, what have you learned from the Mahabharata that can help leaders grapple?
Yeah, see, one of the things that has always troubled me, like I told you, is the current discourse, or, you know, till recently. Now there's a lot of people who are talking about contextual intelligence and all that, last 5-6 years. The idea of a leader being a powerful leader, a Bhima type leader, comes from a military understanding of leadership and all of that. And I'm sure you know this now, that most books on management have actually come out of studying war and war theory. So, you know, words like progress, right? All the strategy, all the critical words in management are all drawn from war literature.
As an aside, my father-in-law is a retired brigadier in the Indian Army. So I've also had conversations about leadership in the army versus...
Yeah, I have questions about leadership in the army and team building in the army. We'll come back to that. Yeah. And also, I think the colonizing, last 200 years of colonization has also given a very different idea of leadership as fundamentally plunder and acquisition, right? Now, the Indian idea of leadership has always been somebody who can deal with Dharma Sankata. Okay, Vikramaditya is the original model. Okay, and I'm sure all of us have read Vikramaditya and Vetala, na?
Yes.
Every story is a double bind, dilemma, Dharma Sankata story. And how he resolves it is what shows his wisdom. Right? To solve a Dharma Sankata kind of situation requires wisdom. Right? It's not other capabilities. It also requires a deep understanding of the situation, of the various forces in the situation and how to balance them. Right? The word mandala, for example, which is the word in India that's used for any, you know, chola mandalam. The word mandala means there are diverse forces that have to be brought into coherence. Now, if you've been in leadership, you know that it's always, always a question of, you know, balancing priorities. Right? Quality versus cost, cost versus delivery, delivery versus, you know, product development or whatever. Right? You're always talking payoffs. Right? And there was one management scientist, I forget his name, who brought in the word satisficing. It's a very interesting term.
Yeah.
Right? And that is what a Dharma Sankata, you can never have an optimum solution. You can only have a satisficing solution. And if you really have been in leadership situations, you know that neither part of this dilemma is going to go away. You solve it for now, in another context, it's going to reappear in a different way. So wisdom lies in how beautifully you understand this context and how you solve it. Right? In a way that it is most coherent. That is leadership, right? I have a big problem with many of the current ideas of leadership, right? Every leader knows this, yeah? Right? Long term versus short term, right? Everything you answer has this kind of, and these are not binaries, right? These are two sides of a polarity. And like a magnet, they'll always be there. You try to cut it, you'll have a north and a south again, no? So that's the difference between great leaders and successful leaders who don't leave a great company behind.
And if you look at, if we persist with this, Raghu, the leaders who are good at resolving dharma sankata versus those that struggle with
not.
Is there something that's common to some of these leaders who have that wisdom?
Yeah. See, there are two, three things that I find with leaders who are capable of looking at dharma sankata. They're also people who understand different types of power, who are not linear, who are not one-dimensional, right? Who actually understand that different contexts require different parts, which is the five seats of power types, no? Very often I find that these are people whose reading is very wide. Yeah, they are phenomenally well-read. So it becomes possible for them to model a situation, right? Not in the terms of the situation, but to use something else to change. And that helps to change the paradigm. Right? So they actually have a kaleidoscope kind of possibility of different associations. Right? Many of them have an aesthetic sensibility. Right? The people who know music or people who know art or interested in it. Right? Many of them are pattern thinkers. And that's not very common. Right? They can actually think systems. They can actually think systems. Not systems thinking, whatever. Not a forced thing. They actually see different parts of the puzzle and they can play with it.
I love the point Raghu makes about having different mental models and frames from which we see a situation. Something similar came up in a different context in my conversation with Ashish Dhawan, philanthropist and former private equity investor at Chris Capital. When I asked him about what it takes to be a good private equity investor, he spoke about how it's critical to be a macroeconomist and a historian in equal measure.
You have to be a big picture person. Almost a macroeconomist and a historian. Macro, because you got to understand, how the economy works, different sectors, what the drivers are, and at a very fundamental level, have a sense of that. But a historian, because you have to understand, how industries have developed over time, how market cycles have played out, having that perspective of how it's happened before, how bubbles got created, what were the best times to invest. So I think having historical perspective, I believe, is absolutely critical. And being a little bit of a big picture thinker is important. You can't just say, I'm looking at this company and doing due diligence. You get too narrow and you lose the forest for the trees, in a sense. So I think having that trait is important.
I guess all of us have a certain lens with which we see the world, given our training and early wiring. To Raghu's point, it's critical for us to get exposure to different ways of looking at the world and form our mental models. If you want to dig deeper into this notion of resolving dharma sankatas, you might like my conversation with Sir Andrew Leukiemann of London Business School, who was on this podcast earlier speaking about the notion of building judgment. If you're deriving value from the podcast, do take a moment to rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whichever platform you use to consume the content. It will make a big difference to us in terms of people discovering us and speakers building trust with the platform when they decide if they want to appear on the show.